All right, so last time we got started on this sugya here of of the people who leave the house. This is one of the very common questions and sort of like always, found always somewhat left ambiguous at the end of the question the way it's raised. So hopefully try to get some finality to the issue tonight. So on page, we started on this last time, but let's just review quickly. In on page one here in the Beis Yosef, so he quotes from the Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra, right? Baba Metzia. The Gemara about that when a person leaves their house, or when it the Gemara itself is actually speaking about a renter, but when a rent the renter versus the tenant, the tenant, right? Talking about the tenant, when the tenant leaves, so the tenant needs to leave behind his mezuzah. So that's what the Gemara said. Now there's a bit of a question as to why that is. So then, first of all, there's a discussion that it's a responsibility of the person living there to put the mezuzahs up, but yet when he leaves, he's the one that is supposed to leave. He's supposed to leave the mezuzahs there. And so what's the reason for that? So if we look at the Beis Yosef on the bottom there, he says, Tosfos suggests you shouldn't take it, that even though we say, Dematilimi beged lebeged, you're allowed to move tzitzis from one garment to another, by a mezuzah you're not allowed to because of the mazikin that are going to come. So when you take the mezuzahs with you, it's as if you have yourself caused damage to the apartment, to the house, and therefore you have to leave them behind. Now, the Beis Yosef himself quotes from the Rabbeinu Manoach, Ahad delo yitlenu biyado v'yatza she'im harishon makbid al demeha tov l'shalma lo aval ein motzim. Now, the Rabbeinu Manoach says, however, that, yeah, when he, that the person leaving it, if he is makbid, so, I mean, he's not so happy about losing the cost of those mezuzahs, right? They're somewhat valuable. So he can, it is appropriate, or it's okay, for him to request the money, right? It's good to pay him aval ein motzin, but he's not allowed to, he wouldn't be able to force the money out of the person coming in. Now, if you look at that dalad, see there's a dalad at the end of that, so the dalad goes to the Agos Vaharos on the bottom, where he points out that there's a little bit, some have a different girsa there, where it says, the tzarech l'shalmalo, meaning, up it says that it's good to pay him, while the other girsa, the other sort, the other text that we have is, you have to pay him, or you should pay him. Right, so that's a little bit of a different understanding. And then finally he concludes by saying, that if a guy is coming in to live in the place, so then you would also certainly have to take the mezuzah out with you when you leave. Okay, good. So that is that's what we have so far. So there's some idea of some kind of payment that would be required. So if we go to page two, so far so good. Okay, so now we go to page two. So page two here, we have the page here in Shulchan Aruch, where in Sif Beis, so in the middle of Sif Beis, he picks up with this. He says, "V'cheshiyatza lo yitlena biyada," that when you leave, you shouldn't take it in your hand. Adds the Rama, Vim Hikbid al Moseha, Hasheni Tzarech L'Shalim Lo. But if he's Makbid, the second guy should pay him. But if he's renting it to a non-Jew, or if he's renting it from a non-Jew, or is going to go to a non-Jew, so then you would take it when you leave. Okay, and the last part is talking about specifically giving things to non-Jews. That's already a different sugya. Okay, but so here the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't take it with you, and the Rama says, but something about him paying you for it. So now there's two important Piskei Tshuvas that put a limitation, a little bit of a limitation on this. Not that big of a limitation, but somewhat of a limitation. So in the Piskei Tshuva Zayin, towards the bottom there. So the Piskei Tshuva says, Ayin Birkei Yosef, I think. Shekasiv de'im hu makom she'enu motzi mezuzu levayi shehu rota ata ladurbo v'hi rechoku imenu shetavu liyada. That if he's going to a place where it's going to be hard for him to find mezuzahs, so then he could take it with it. Kedai him haga'onim rabinu hai v'ravacha sh'amru dim kava miyad b'vayis acher leislan ba lismoch aleim b'shas adchak. one has the right to rely on the shita of the Gaonim, that the problem is that you're removing the mezuzahs from doing their job. The mezuzahs had a job, and now they're going to be in a drawer. So he says, but implication being that if you're right away going to put them up in the new house, so then that's okay. So we probably paskin like Tosos against the sheet of the Gaonim. That seems to be the way that the Shulchan Aruch is understanding it. So he says, though, but in a scenario where you're not going to be able to get mezuzahs in your new house, you have the right to rely on the opinion of the Gaonim and say that, the reason has to do with the fact that it needs to be put up in a new place very quickly. So as long as you take it and put it up in a new place very quickly, so then you are Yotze. Now, the... You have to leave even those. So I think there's a strong grounds to say no, but that comes much that comes down the line. But yeah, that probably is grounds to say that you are only required to leave them where you are required miyak or adin, and not where you're only putting it up l'chumra. I think there is grounds to say that. Yeah. Now the Pesach Tshuva continues on and says v'chasav od. He also says that he puts the brakes on this. But he says the afi miyach yotzim b'bayis zeh yavo reihu ladurbo zeh nichnas v'zeh yotze. He says, what about as soon as you leave, the other guy's coming in? So you're not going to have to worry about the mazikin issue either. V'shneim nechonim zeh lahotzim mezuzato v'zeh lahachin seh shalom. And they're both good with one guy, the first guy taking his away and the second guy bringing his in right away. That even though these reasons are not applicable, maybe the Rabbanim don't make the distinction and say that no, you should leave the mezuzahs behind. Okay, so while the Birkei Yosef gives a pretty decent sized kula about this, you're going to be in a place where you're not going to be able to get mezuzahs, then you could take it with you. He says, however, outside of that, we're going to say low plug and you have to leave the mezuzahs behind. So you don't get very much from that. Certainly nowadays, where we have, Amazon, you can order your mezuzah on Amazon or from Mezuzah and More. They ship worldwide and you're not going to have a problem getting mezuzahs. So that we see at least a little bit of a chink that, in certain situations, you could rely on the shita of the Gaonim rather than the shita of Tosfos. It doesn't really help us that much to follow that Piskei Tshuva Lamaisa, but it's good to keep in mind. Now, the other Piskei Tshuva is also helpful here. The Ches, where it says, Lo Yitlena, who says, Umihai Taima, Pasak Vashal Su Shivat Sion Simen Kof Yud, Bemisha Machar Beso Velo Kasav Im Ko Masha Besocho Verotza HaMocher Lito HaMezuzas HaKavuim B'Yesedos B'Piskei Chedarim. He says, what about the following? So this is where we start, you start finding a little bit of a, for lack of better terms, a kula here. That somebody who rents their house, and he doesn't say, im kol masha besocho, with everything that's inside of it. Verotza hamocher, so the seller wants to take the mezuzahs that are attached. V'chasav, and he says, da din im halokeach. That's the best, that the halacha goes by the buyer. Meaning that the buyer/the tenant, he gets to claim them. That even though we learn in Choshen Mishpat that when you sell a house, so what do I assume comes along with the house? All the chairs, the tables, the window treatments, the sink, the dishwasher, the oven, what's in, what's out. So in Choshen Mishpat it says anything attached to the house with cement counts as the house, and anything not doesn't. So he says, what about the mezuzahs? So mezuzahs are not generally attached with cement, but nevertheless, if Amash b'chuber b'yaseidus lo mikri chiber mishum d'chigemara hui b'ayla d'lo ifshita v'hamotzi mechavero alavaraya. He says, even though the mezuzahs are not necessarily connected, and should not really be held there. Haynu dafka v'davar shamocher yachul lahachzik bo gam achar hamachira. That only means that because the buyer can go and, sorry, the seller can go and claim it even after the sale took place, meaning the sale took place, they have the closing on the house, and then he goes and takes his stuff. But the mezuzah he's not allowed to take. All he has is a monetary claim. So therefore, the purchaser is the one that is considered to be muchzak, and even to be yotzei yidei shemayim, he has no responsibility to pay for it. Right, so nothing is said before the sale. The sale takes place. They shake hands. The money is given over. Rosner Settlement Services collects his money, and now the original owner, the first owner, says, "Okay, I'm going to go take my mezuzahs down now." He says, "Well, not so fast. They're not your mezuzahs. You're well, they might be yours, but you're required to leave them behind for me." So the guy says, "Oh, come on. I didn't really expect to do that." But he said, "It doesn't matter. Hamotzi mechavero lavaraya." So at this point, the guy living there, the second owner, is the muchzak. He's the one that is holding it. And therefore, the proof is on the first owner to try to draw a proof to get them out of there. And he's not going to have a leg to stand on. So Basin is not going to rule in his favor, even Yotzi Yidei Shemayim. Right? So if nothing is said beforehand, the person who moves in has a very good claim to keep those mezuzahs there. He says it's the equivalent of being cemented down because the owner, the original owner, had no right to take them. That's the halacha sees that as being cemented down. Therefore, it's considered as part of the house, and therefore he has to leave it for the next guy that is living there. Okay, so that is what we have on the page of the. Well, the Gemara says you have to leave it. The Gemara doesn't really tell us exactly why you need to leave it, and then there's three shitos in the Rishonim as to why you need to leave it. So that's actually on the sources that I gave you. So page 3, on top of the line, he lists off what those three reasons are, right? That's the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia, that when you take it, you shouldn't take the mezuzahs. When you leave, you shouldn't take the mezuzahs. And somebody took it, and he had to ended up burying his wife and children because of it. And there's three reasons for it. Toso says because of these, you're leaving the house available for mazikim. The Ritva says because there's the Shekhinah is present in that house, so how dare you cause the Shekhinah to leave that house? And then you have the Gaonim saying it's inappropriate to have these mezuzahs, you know, put them on the disabled list for a while, right? It's not a good thing to do, so therefore that's why it's inappropriate. So depending on which reason you hold, you could hear all of a sudden a couple of nafkaminas between them. But those are the three reasons that are put out there. Now, this monetary thing, though, is really the key. Meaning the idea that a person buys a house from a Jew or rents a house that the previous tenant was a Jew, or you rent that, right? So that doesn't really entitle you to free mezuzahs. I think that is actually the starting point, that there should be a way to be able to take money out. And so how do you do that? So on page number 4, the Agur Bo Halacha, he says as follows. If you see above the line, he says in Simon, right, what is it? Perk Mem Sif Tesvav in the Agur Bo Halacha, he says, Al Hanichnas L'Shalim Avor HaMezuzos, that it's the responsibility of the guy coming in, he should be paying for the mezuzos. V'yimhu Misariv L'Shalim, Mutter L'Yotzei Litulas HaMezuzos Ulekova B'Pesach Acher Miyad. He says that if the guy refuses to pay, so then it is permissible for the guy, the first owner, to take them and rely on the Gaonim and put them up right away. V'yishosrim, and there are those that prohibit it. U'vehefsid meruba nir sheyesh lahakel. The one has the right to be makel, b'makom hefsid meruba. So where is this coming from? It seems to not fit with what it is, with what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So if you go to page 5, so you see Rav Moshe has a tshuva on the topic. So Rav Moshe there says, this is Rav Moshe Yerodea, I think, Hey Mem Dalet. Or Dalet Mem Dalet.
So I can tell you a story where you're looking at
the. Yeah.
I was answering from Chicago here. We, of course, were leaving town, and somehow it was made known to me that I couldn't take the mezuzah, and we didn't have somewhat upsetting to me because they were expensive and we didn't have a lot of money at the time.
Right.
But we left him. So a couple months later, my mother-in-law goes to collect the mail that came accidentally to the house. She took all the boozies down and she gave them to my mother-in-law.
I mean, the person who had moved in?
The person who moved in was a conservative reform. He said, no, we only put them on the front of the back door or whatever. Or just the front door. You know, we don't put them on every door.
Ah, okay.
So we got them all back. So I was quite grateful, but it was like, okay, it was for a little while.
Okay.
Rav Moshe
doesn't come to a complete conclusion on this. Rav Moshe makes a couple of points here. So you see here, So what's this issue here? So we'll start in the second paragraph there. He says, "Yinei Masha Kasev," where he quotes the Pische Tshuva that we quoted, that if it's a place where you're not going to be able to find mezuzahs, you have the right to rely on the Gaonim. And so you see already that there is a little bit of a, you know, he points out there's a little bit of a wiggle room already there. Next paragraph, he says, "Afshe Efshar Mitzar Acher," right? "The Hashavin lo mezuzahs elu shivoy she'ein lo tashlumin." The kaven she'ein tzarich la'nicham below tashlumin hare elu rishay litlam. He says, or maybe you could just say that these mezuzahs are there, right? That these are something that require a payback, and since you don't have to leave them there without being paid, hare you lie rishay litlam. Maybe you could take them mi'achar she'ein lo b'mel shalim ba'adam. Aval hamashba she'enu yachu litlam af kashichan is sham hu ani ve'enu ma'amino she'yishalin. But it sounds like you're not allowed to do that. Uve'er ha'goli isa al ha'dakasav ha'ramav im hikpid al ma'osa ha'sheni tzarech l'shalim d'shem kasav tov l'shalim lo aval en motzir v'farish kem v'es Yosef v'lai ramash kasav l'ashon tzarech polig b'za al b'es Yosef. So he suggests that the Beis Yosef was saying that he's the one who has the girsa of, you know, it would be a good idea it would be nice to pay, but if you can't pay, it's how you get to keep them. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, but that's not the Ramah's girsa is. The Ramah said that it's tzarech, that you should. So he sounds like you should. And then he continues on and says, and see the Bach who writes that according to Tosos, the custom of Israel, Rishon Litla, Afatzitzis Matilim, Begle, Begle, Lefishainza, Yeshit, Laviotse, Ben Mazik, and Levisu, Hilu Mazik, Osan, Sheadur, Beveso, Chavashay, Shan, Rishon, the Mayo, Mizuzi, quote Tosos, the Kavana, so Ulai, Humishum, the Veetzem al Hanizak, Laharchikes Atzmo, Velachain, Afsha Hachel, Lo Shaykh, Lahamir, Hachiv, Lania, Hamazuza, Elahala, Rishon, Afshulim, Noah, Hamazik, and Miasheni. He says, who's the one benefiting from this? Right, so you're responsible to leave the mezuzahs there, but that means that the second guy, but the beneficiary of that is not you. The beneficiary of that is the guy moving in. Right, it's going to be damage to his house, not to your house. So we call mako mashe shayich sheyia al haniza kedin duha tashlumin ba'ad benias hanezek hu al hasheni. Right, even though you're responsible to allow for there not to be damage there, the responsibility of that payment should be on the second guy. He says, but see, the priest of the Gamkin Havi Divrei tells me, Komok Masiach Rak Shatov Shishalim Demeha Aval In Mitzuin. But again, he says, he backs down a little bit, saying, yeah, but it's not really what the Rishonim say. But then he continues on at the end here. The last paragraph, he says, "Va'abach shesover shechayiv that you're chayiv to pay." V'gamash mos haramab b'lashon v'im hikbid al mosa hasheni tzarech l'shalim mash manami shesover shechayiv lo savi shestam inshi mochlanza. It doesn't sound like people are regularly mochelan. It sounds like he wants his money. Right? V'hu mishum da'afsha mitzvah shekfar asa kamezuzah nami ha'isa shabelo kol dameha, that even though the mitzvah is worth all of his money, t'chazina da'afal mitzvah she'adam osa berega achas ka'alula v'mashli mitzach gadol. Right? There's plenty of mitzvahs people are willing to spend a lot of money on. Mikol makom lo garazem midmei mitziyah v'yerusha shegamkein makbidim kuli alma kamo al mamon shetarach alai. He says, but what do you mean? But if it's somebody's stuff, it's his stuff. You don't have the right to say, like, oh, well, you shouldn't worry about the you know, $2,000 worth of mezuzahs that you're leaving behind. It says, V'tzarech lomar shebefarshi lashon aval ein motzien, that the Beis Yosef says, Hainu, im lo amar lo b'shash shera l'sheni pam harishon shirotze shishalim lo, talina shemachalo. That if you don't say anything, so then you then we could say that you are mochel. Mifnei shetova v'ulai ruvan ein makbidin. Maybe there are a lot of people that aren't makbid on it. But if you say something, v'afim leika ruvash ein makbidin, nami einu yachol lahotzi shuvat hashumi hasheni shehu mochzak. But if right away, when you're drawing up the deal for the house, you say, oh, and by the way, I want payment for the mezuzahs, then, if that's the case, the first guy can't say, I'm taking the mezuzah or else, but El Rakla Tvoa Hasheni Shishaim Luludas Bachvarama, Umimila Lo Shaykh Lachaiva Lusheni, El Keshivoi Mezuzos Miudaros Ke'elu, Velo Yosem Ikvi Shishavili Alma. So he might be responsible to leave them, but he does have a right in court to demand the payment for them. So the guy has the right, so the second guy moving in could say, you better leave the mezuzahs. The first guy says, oh, I'm only leaving them if you pay for them. So then he has the right to demand that payment, mimela. And then, so what if the guy doesn't pay? So the guy doesn't pay, then you could call that geneva, right? You could call that potentially, a mitzvah ba biavera. You could call that, that the guy's a bad guy who refused to pay money that he owes. So yes, you do have a chiv to leave them, but you also have the right in the first place to demand the money, to demand payment for them. So I'm not sure why this is not like Aleph Beis, but a lot of people do leave their mezuzahs behind, but I don't know, it seems to me that, so I've told people that you should have the discussion up front. And if the guy says, no, you can take them, it seems like you should be able to take them. I mean, according to Rav Moshe's logic here, right? Rav Moshe is saying you're responsible to leave them because you need to provide a safe environment for the other person to move in. But if the other person says, I don't care, so then it seems like you should have the right to be able to take them with you. And that seems to be the way that the Agbar Lecha comes down as well. So put that part on hold. I just want to cover his last paragraph, which takes care of a lot of cases. He says, by the way, but in other cases, you can also rely on Rav Henkin. Sheshama mimenu damar shehaderech b'medina zu she'ein shum adam nichnas labayis elim kein tzava usat chila ba'al habayis v'cheshetzovin ha-muchrachin lahasir samezuzah shelo tiskakel v'rishai memela litlam. Says Rav Henkin that it seems in this country they're always painting between all of the users of the apartment. So if you're painting between the users of the apartment, so mamela, the mezuzah is going to come down, and mamela, they're going to get lost. So in order to protect them from getting lost, so you have the right that you should then take them with you. So I think for most people, when they rent an apartment for the first time, even though the owner of the building might be Jewish, and the person moving in after them might be Jewish, the minhag is to take them with you. But so you just leave them up for a week in between owners, they're going to repaint, and they're going to get messed up, and they're going to be gone, and so therefore the minhag is to take them with you. It's a little more complicated when it's a deal on a house from one owner to another owner, but so I've told people is so up front, you know, tell them that you want payment for it, and if the person says no, you should take them, so then you ultimately have the right to take them because it's really his potential nezek. It's not really your potential nezek.
Yeah, I was not, if I recall correctly, given that option.
Right. Sorry. Right. By the way, the Rav Henkin is here, right? You see, this is the tshuva from Rav Henkin, where he says he has a couple of ha'aros binyani mezuzah. So the last one is this: if a rented house, patrim mezuzah until. No, I'm sorry. The bottom line here: v'frat kashemaskir inu muksak v'kashrut tzarich liknos ha'mezuzah. No. Medina Zoo, top right. Shaderch Yatsa Dyer Acher Tsovim Sabayas Kodem Shihani Sakir, but seven nichnas gamla socha mezuzah, and the paint's gonna ruin the mezuzah. Yeshla Hasyar Mazu take the mezuzahs down, Vachinkish Tsovim Kosli Abayas is just gonna paint the walls, Vunisha Ladursham, Yasar Mazuzah, and you're even still living there, you should take the mezuzahs down. O Yeshmer Shilo Yitzvu Makama Mazuzah, or make sure that they don't, right? It's not just the din when you're leaving, it's also a din when you're living in the house. You take the mezuzahs down if there are repairs that are going on that might ruin the mezuzahs. Now, the truth is, full disclosure, is that Rav Moshe in Mesoris Moshe seems to be a little bit more strict. That in here in Mesoris, there right the three volumes of Mesoris Moshe. I think this one is volume 3. The bottom right, he says, I asked Rav Moshe in Yish Heter L'Adam L'Horid Hamezuz Me'Abayis Moshe Nichnas Achrav Omer Shebinkach Yachav Samezuz Machas She'inu Samach Al Kashrusa. He says, what if you have the guy that's moving in later holds that your mezuzos aren't kosher? Right, so do you have the right to take them down under those circumstances? And Rav Moshe says, well, there's no heter, because you still are required to leave them for him. V'mishi yichnas l'sham lo yishena hamezuz b'yom shenichnas, az nishar oso iser sheyesh b'ofen haragil, d'sheni ha-taimim ha-movim etosos b'shavis. And the person's coming in there, if he's not going to change them on the day that he moves in, so then he's going to have the iser for a little while. So therefore you need to, but he did say that that when the first person, if he should request that the guy that moves in, that he should take him down and mail it to him as soon as he moves in. However, the second line here also in Mesoris Moshe, a different volume of it, he says here, where was it? Yeah. Reish Sadi Beis, Beishiv Li Rabbeinu Lagabi Misha Oziv Esti Raso, a person leaving their house, Hare Aser Lo Laho, you can't take the mezuzahs down, Shigam Shiach Litvo Bedin Shabbai Machadashim Shal Bais Yishalim Be'ad Mezuzahs, even though you could require that to be paid for, Mikol Makom Iyev Shar Lo Reed Dem Gam Shilo Yirtzu L'Shalim Anichlas, even if he doesn't want to get paid. So he seems to, even though he doesn't want to pay. So it seems like he expands about it in the Igros Moshe that, okay, but yeah, but you could be Toveya Him Ladin, and the guy could be in trouble. But yeah, ultimately, you know, Lamaisa today, if the person refuses to pay and refuses to send them, you're going to have a hard time getting them back. But still, you have the right, you know, there is some means at your disclosure to be able to get them. Now, that's what Rav Moshe says. Now, if you go to the next page, page 9 here, so this is also from the Sefer Agur Bo'alecha in that chapter, where he tells you, these are the lahalim kama mikrim, these are the scenarios where it would be mutter for you to take your mezuzahs with you. So Aleph, if you know a guy is going to be moving in after you, good. Beis, kama mezuzah she'ula mutter litla kedei lahachzira, that if you had only put up borrowed mezuzahs, so then you would be able to send them back, you'd be able to return them. He says, however, there are those that disagree with that. Okay, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure living in a house for that long with bar mezuzah is the best idea anyways. Gimel, im zakuk le mezuzah lebeisa achadash, ve'im biyado lahasik mezuzah acheres, mutter litla. Right, so that's the case of the Pisli Tshuva. If you're moving into a new house where it's going to be difficult for you to find mezuzahs, so then you could take them with you. Dalet, yesh omrim here, shim hanichnas eno muchan l'shalim avar hamezuzah. If the guy moving in is not prepared to pay for them, you are allowed to take them with you. That's the way that he assumes. And also, there's a minhag to be nagu leheter to switch it for other ones. Meaning, if you have really nice mezuzahs and you want to keep this din, you are permitted to replace them with standard kosher mezuzahs and take your more expensive mezuzahs with you. But I think dalit is the key, right? If the guy doesn't want to pay, he says you're allowed to take them with you. Now, here he says, see, in footnote, he just sends you later on where he discusses that, and that's here. So page number 10, he says, on top of the line, Tesvav, Al nichnas l'shalim avar mezuzos, v'im hu misariv l'shalim, if he refuses to pay, mutter liyotze litul asa mezuzah, l'kovim pesach achar miyam, put them up right away. Oh, we read this already. That's an earlier page as well. I copied it twice. V'yishosrim, uvehefsim ruba nir sheish la'achlan. In case of hefsim ruba, you have the right to be makel. So where did this come from? So the footnote here, so he has a longish footnote, memvav, but on the top of the next page, so that first full paragraph on the next page says Etzem Hanidonim Aser Litla Kishainu Mishalim Hayanir Shatali Batama Iser. That according to Tosos, the chiyuv is because that it won't cause damage. So imin hadin chayv l'shalim kasheinu m'shalim ein al hayotze lidoglo. So if that's being the case, so it makes sense to say that it's the responsibility of the next guy moving in. He's the one that's going to benefit from it. So therefore, he should be the one to pay for it. So achudasa ritva she iser hu mishum sil kashchina mashenichlas einu mekayin es chiyuvo ein zemati liyotzil tzalikas hashchina. So just because the second guy is not going to fulfill his chiyuv, then ein zemati liyotze the guy leaving tzalikas hashchina to cause that to happen. But the kevav, are we really passing like Tosos? Says the Agar Bo'alacha. So the kevav she ikur lahalacha ketam Tosfos hayanirishim einu mishalim lo yachol litla. But because we really paskin like Tosfos at the end of the day, hayanira it seems sheim einu mishalim lo yachulitla. If he's not going to pay you, so then you should you're allowed to take them with you, and that's the way that he paskins. Now he adds in here at the bottom. Oh, this didn't come out very nicely. Sorry about that. But he has another long footnote a little bit later on. If you look at the bottom left. So he says there, bottom left, I have a couple of things that are underlined, but he says, it could be, v'nir lefarshib is manehem macher mezuzah lo aya yakar. He says, it could be that mezuzahs were a lot less expensive in the old days. I'm not sure I would say that, but I would suggest that they had the mitzvah of mezuzah was a lot less expensive in the old days because people's houses had two mezuzahs on them, right? But nowadays we have an average house has 20 to 30 probably, or 18 to 30 or so is what I've probably found the average to be, right? So that's already an expense. That's already, you know, especially in today's prices, that's over $2,000 probably, right? Yeah. Right. Because it's a technical damage. What's the concern about the mazikim? That they're going to cause damage. So who's the one that's going to suffer from the damage? It's the second guy. So the Gemara is only telling you that you have a responsibility to leave it so that the second guy doesn't get damaged for it. I mean, you have to give him that option. But if the guy is not going to pay for it, so then, okay, so it's your problem. It's not my problem. But it's not necessarily, it's not really your responsibility to pay for him to observe the mitzvah. That's first of all. First of all, yeah, okay, fine. But that's his choice to make. It's not my choice. So, yeah, it's a very nice thing to do to go around giving mezuzahs to everybody and make sure they have it. Or there's an organization, My Zuzah, that will send everybody a free mezuzah, whoever requests. One free mezuzah. Forever requests, but that's not that. This is a choshen mishpat halacha. This is a monetary halacha, and therefore it's not your responsibility. Beyond that, there is a little bit of a question as to giving mezuzahs to people that are not necessarily going to keep it very well. They're going to keep it appropriately. I mean, even if they are Jewish, even to sell a mezuzah to somebody who is not going to keep it in a good, in a nice way, so it's questionable whether you should do that. Excuse me. Right. Now, he does point out here in the Sefer HaGemalach, he discusses, we'll probably discuss this more next week, and what will then probably be the last year will be next week, of if somebody is requesting, meaning a seller The assumption is if a guy is coming to buy mezuzahs, so you don't have to, like, you should tell him, you know, these have to be kept respectfully and things like that. But the assumption then is that they'll be kept respectfully. But if a Jew is moving in, you say, hey, you want to leave the mezuzahs, should I leave the mezuzahs behind? Even forget about the money. Like, I'm moving to, I'm downsizing, so I don't need to take the mezuzahs with me. You want me to leave the mezuzahs? The guy said, yeah, I don't care. Right? So that's probably, it might not be a great idea to leave them behind. In fact, I Googled today, I came across an article in the New York Times from about 10 years ago where it talked about all these non-Jews have mezuzahs on their door because they moved into these apartments and the mezuzahs were left behind. So a lot of them are like so excited that they have mezuzahs on the door that, you know, they're not going to take it down. They're very happy with their mezuzahs being left up. Right? So, like, that's not such a great scenario. I mean, what happens then? Even if the guy said, I'm going to commit to it, so that means, you know, the person moved on or passed away or something, and some of them didn't care, right? So it is important, does behoove people to make sure that mezuzahs are kept and all divrei shebekdusha are kept with appropriate people in appropriate places. That's a little bit more of next week's issue, where the Rama continues. Plus, the Rama talks about selling mezuzahs to non-Jews, where it seems like he takes a somewhat harsh stance against it. So is that okay? Is that not okay? And furthermore, intermarried, what about selling non-Jew, to an intermarried couple? Actually, whatever, we'll discuss that issue next week. But let me just get here on this these last little notes here. So first of all, right, he points out that it could be that mezuzahs back in the day weren't so expensive and therefore wasn't that big a deal. Right, but nowadays maybe you would. So ula midvarav she'ein lazuz mi psak harama shechayv l'shalim, that you shouldn't just ignore the Rama, and you are chayv to pay. Delfiya ma real diskin ein alacha k'Rabbeinu Manoach. But kol shekein lefi mashe kazeh shulchan gavoh shegam Rabbeinu Manoach mechayv l'shalim. Right, because that was the Rabbeinu Manoach that had the question of whether it says rishai or tzarech. So v'od da'afim lo Rabbeinu Manoach patur l'shalim hu mishum shesfir leishim einu m'shalim lo mutur litul samazuzo imo. That if maybe it's because he assumes that if he doesn't pay, he's allowed to take it with him. Ach kol ocha nichtas mishtamish im ha'mezuzos shelo hu chayav sham. But if he's going to use them, he's got to pay. V'od tzidido divizmanenu shemezuzos yikaros. And nowadays when mezuzos are expensive, yesh lomar dechuli alma modu shechayav. It could be that everybody would agree that you would need to pay. So that is that's my recommendation. Yes, it's true. At the end of the day, if you already sold the house and then you come and ask the shaila, it's a little bit more complicated at that point. But from the starting point, I think really should be that if the buyer is Jewish, it should be set up front saying, hey, I have these mezuzahs. Do you want to should I leave them behind? But if I leave them behind, you're responsible to pay for them. And the person says, okay. So then what is the going rate? I'll pay the market rate for them. Anyways, it's better for me because I won't have to pay the mezuzah and more guy to come and put up mine. Right? So just leave him behind. I'll pay you the market rate for them. So great. So sell the... So that's fine. And then do that. Right? That's certainly appropriate. If you don't make an agreement originally, so then you're on a little bit more shaky ground in terms of demanding the money later, but it still probably is appropriate that the guy moving in does give payment for those mezuzahs that the original person left behind. Okay? Now, the Rama concludes with this halacha about non-Jews, that Ovi Kochavim, that request from one, you're not supposed to give it to him unless it's going to cause eva. Now, how much eva is, you know, you're going to cause some kind of problems, disunity or something like that. So how much eva do we have to be concerned about, and how important is that? And second of all, this was the story, actually. On my way to when I went to the Cohen wedding the other week, 2 weeks ago already, right? So so I had like five stops on my way up, some kashrus related, and one was a mezuzah related job near Princeton, some guy, whatever, who apparently was intermarried. So I put some mezuzahs in their house, is a whole story. Then when I got to the wedding, I mentioned that I sat with Rabbi Kaplan, and I mentioned to Rabbi Kaplan, oh, I did, like, you wouldn't believe the places I was at today, and I mentioned this one, like, oh, I put a mezuzah in this guy's house, it's intermarried, whole thing. He's like, what do you mean you're not allowed to put mezuzahs up in an intermarried person's house? You're giving a mezuzah to a non-Jew. So first of all, Rabbi Brisman has a tshuva on the topic. That's A. B, well, what about the Jew that's there? Or, well, what about it's a Jew and a non-Jew living together? What about a college dorm where it's a Jew and a non-Jew together? So some of these we've had a little bit in the past, but we'll try to get to the bottom of that in Yirtzeh Hashem next week. That's all right. I realize we're... Yeah, okay. I think we're covered this week's round. Okay, good? All right, good evening.